And it's Palm Sunday, and I did have a sermon for Palm Sunday. It was still from our study in the book of Philippians, but it was beautiful how it connected to Palm Sunday, and I had that until Thursday night. And then something happened. Something we had never seen in this country before. And by Friday, it was weighing heavy on me. Friday night, by the time we had center stage and we were talking about wokeism, I really felt God was saying, you need to address this from the pulpit. So I waited till Saturday to make sure it was not me. And I felt God leading me to do this, and I did. So Saturday I rewrote another sermon. I usually don't try to write a sermon in one day. Usually I try to write it and then go back. And I usually work on it throughout the week. And so hopefully this sermon will make sense. I'm going to cover a lot. I'm going to move quickly. I entitled this sermon, God's Plan, the Counterfeit Plan, and the Fool's Plan. A biblical view of what is going on. Now you see a church there in a bubble, and sometimes we'd like to be in a bubble, wouldn't we? Just shielded from everything in the world. A lot of times churches can get this way, and that's not, we're to be not of the world, but we're supposed to be in the world. We're supposed to be connecting with people. Sometimes it'd be nice to be in a bubble. And yes, the pastors were told to preach from the Word of God. This is what we teach, but there are times that I think things happen that pastors need to address from the pulpit. So it's clear where we stand. Maybe to answer people's questions when they look out and they see things are just falling apart. And so today I want to look what happened on Thursday night, Friday, what's going to happen this week in conjunction with everything else that's been happening to our country in the last 3 years. A lot of people are asking, America, what happened? America is not the America of my youth. And many of you are older than I am. And it's definitely not the America of your youth. What's happened to America? It's crumbling. It's collapsing. One of the biggest driving forces that we see, one of the main things that is wrong, is that we have a two-tier justice system. What a two-tier justice system means is there's a level here where people can break the law and get away with it. And then there's a tier down here where everybody else is, and they can't get away with breaking the law. The law is not equally applied in a two-tier system. Some are above the law. We call them the elites. Maybe they're politicians. Maybe they're the rich and famous. But it seems like there's a standard for them and a standard for everybody else. You see, as a nation, we are supposed to have law and order equal across the board. We, the people, the Constitution of the United States of America, is the law of the land. And Lady Justice is supposed to be blind, dealing justice out equally, no matter who you are. One law for all people. But in the last 3 years, we have seen that start to erode. Go to the next slide, Levi. See the riots of 2020. They were described as mostly peaceful. Even though people were murdered, shops vandalized, billions upon billions of dollars of damage. And there have not been investigations by our government into the organizations who did this. There haven't been mass arrests, barely any. Multiple murders from the riots across America have gone unsolved, and they're not being investigated. Now, January 6th, one day, protest that did get out of hand, wasn't an insurrection, but over 1,000 people have been charged. 1,200 more arrests the Attorney General said they want to make. For one day, few hours, protests that did get out of hand. It seems like there's a two-tier justice system depending on what side of the political spectrum you fall. I'm not trying to be political with this sermon, but I do need to address what is happening in our culture and what we are going to have to deal with. This has been bad enough, but we crossed the line on Thursday. We're going to see it play out this week. A line we have never crossed in the history of our nation. Many other nations have. Third world nations. Tyrannical governments. Banana republics. The line of using the law to prosecute or persecute those whom you disagree with. Especially in the political arena, or it may be on social issues, but you use the law in an inappropriate way to stop the other side so that you can control the narrative, the outcome, and the power. Next slide, Levi. Now, I'm not here to support Trump or Hillary. This is not political, and I'll... But this is something I need to show you. This is where we have, this is the line we have crossed, folks. We're a nation of freedom, of justice, of truth. I mean, I think that's what Superman used to say, right? And I'm not saying either one of these are angels. They're not. And I'm not here to support Trump, and I'm not here supporting Hillary. But here's where our mentality has gone in the last 4 years, where it has never gone before. Of putting in prison your political rival. And it started with Trump in 2016. The chant at most of the events he held, what do they call them? What? Rally, thank you. Lock her up. Lock her up. Now, she may have truly deserved to have been locked up, but that's not to be done in a political sense. It's to be done under the law. She was the political rival. Just take her on with the politics. But he allowed that to be chanted. That's stepping very dangerous, very close and dangerous to the line. But this week we saw the line was crossed. You wanted to lock up our person? Well, we're going to lock up your person. And so they've charged Trump. And all the experts say this is a political prosecution. And that's not how the law is intended. But folks, we just crossed over something that we can never go back. The United States just changed. I believe it changed in 2020. But this right here, we just changed. And as Christians, as the church, as Americans, we need to understand why this is happening. Why all this is happening. The collapse of the United States. Next slide, Levi. It's amazing how the approval of our government, how our government has become where it can't work together. It's no longer a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. I think there's some good individuals in this mess, in this crowd of politicians, and you know how I feel about politicians. Poly means many. Tick means a blood-sucking parasite. And that's what most politicians are. They're there for themselves. How many of them have gotten there? They're federal employees on a federal pay scale. They go there, not making a ton of money, but they become millionaires in the process. It's corrupt. And their approval rating is terrible. But they seem to keep getting reelected. How many of you, and this is just being honest, how many of you feel we have, from this point on, we're going to have fair elections? I don't. I don't think the last election was fair, and that's not conspiracy. That's not being political. Our nation has become corrupt from top to bottom. Next slide, Levi. Here are some just headlines, just a small taste. Cancel culture. You've never heard of that before in our country, but now you can be canceled because you don't think certain ways about certain lifestyles. We've returned to the color of skin, whiteness. I said this on Friday night. You do realize, and I hope this goes out and everybody on the internet can hear it. You do realize there is only one race on the planet. It's called the human race. And you realize there's only one color, skin color out there in the world. Science has proven this, and everybody always wants to say, follow the science. Well, here's the science. There's one skin color, and it's brown. Most of the world is of that skin color. Most of the ethnic nations out there, brown is the main primary color. But then you can go from brown to darker shades of brown to darker shades of brown to where you're dark brown or black. Or you can go to the other spectrum where you're less brown, less brown, less brown, pale brown, white. It's the same color, just different shades. But now we want to divide ourselves by something as stupid as the color of our skin. Arizona school board members say districts should reject hiring teachers with Christian values. A nation that was founded on Christian values. You don't believe me? Google Washington, D.C. buildings and monuments Bible verses. And see how many Bible verses there are etched into the buildings. Tennessee ban on drag shows in front of children temporarily blocked by a judge. There is a judge sitting in our judicial system in Tennessee who thinks it's okay for drag shows to be for children. Grown adult males being sexual in front of children. And a judge thinks that's good. How did we get here? Well, that's what this sermon's going to answer. Next slide, Levi. All right. I'm going to start from the very beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And He created it beautiful. Good. Very good. And it was designed, He designed humanity, male and female, Adam and Eve, to be one together. To be in relationship together with each other and with Him, and to enjoy God, enjoy His creation, to be in relationship. See, we are relational beings. That's how God designed us. And we were to be in relationship with Him, just knowing good. But in this good environment, He gave Adam and Eve freedom to do right or not to do right. If you don't have that choice, then you don't really have freedom. If you don't really have freedom, you don't have true love. And we know that Satan, once with God, charged of the worship of God, decided pride in himself. He needed to be worshipped. He needed to be God. So he rebelled. And he wanted to get at God, and he couldn't. So he did the next best thing. He went after what God loves, humanity. And he got humanity to rebel, to be separated from God. That's Satan's plan. Go ahead and click one, Levi. There you go. Satan's plan is to get humanity to rebel. And all have. No one in the world, human history, since Adam and Eve, have continued from their birth to walk with God. All have sinned and fall short. All have taken the detour of Satan's plan to rebel against God. Now, Satan's plan is, at the end of his plan, is for him to be worshipped in the place of God. But actually, God's plan is always superior, and what Satan's plan is going to do, where it's going to end up, go ahead and click, it's going to end up in all people being judged by God and sent to hellfire. This is the destiny of every person on the planet. If God had not intervened, if God had not inserted himself into this plan of Satan. And God, since he's all-powerful and all-knowing, he can take what man or what Satan plans for evil and he can turn it for good. And Christ came. And he died for us, so that we could get off this rebellion path, this path of Satan, this plan of Satan, and we can get back to God's plan, to be back in relationship with God the Father, because Jesus died for our sins. And that's the church. That's the role of the church now. You see, folks, that is the most real thing you're ever going to see in your life. That's reality. It's not the stock market. It's not entertainment. It's not all this stuff out here we see in the world. That's reality, folks. If you really believe what the Bible says, that's reality. And the only thing that matters in the end is if people get back into relationship with God. And that's why we are here. That's why we are the church. Christ was so dedicated to that fact that he went and he died on the cross for it. And now we as the church are supposed to be dedicated as being the church to get people back in a relationship with God. That's the most important thing we can do. It's not our jobs. It's not our entertainment life. It's to be a team and get the ministry of the church done. But let's take a little closer look at Satan's plan here, a little more in depth. Go to the next slide, Levi. All right, so Satan's plan was the fall, Adam and Eve, sin. And then he tried to create a one-world government under himself, Tower Babel. A lot of people say Babel. That didn't work. God came down and stopped that. But Satan has had a plan for a long time. And he's working it. And it's going to lead to Revelation 13. Where we know Revelation 13, there's a one world government. And there's one person in charge of it. And it's empowered and eventually possessed, the man is possessed by Satan. And Satan receives the worship of the world. What he's always wanted. That's his plan. And it's working, it's happening. But you see, there's also the fool's plan. Anyone who denies God and rejects God, God says, is a fool. The global elites of our time have a plan. Now, their plan is actually to fulfill Satan's plan. They don't know this. Maybe some of them do, but the majority of them don't. They're in it for themselves to gain power and control. So they've been working a plan. So you have God's plan, you have the counterfeit plan of Satan, and now you have the fool's plan being played out right before our eyes, which is going to accomplish Satan's plan. Revelation chapter 13. But they call their plan the Great Reset. Agenda 2030. Political change. They want to make a global government. They're going to do this through the Great Reset, which I'll speak about here in a second. They want to do social changes. Change citizens to global citizens. No more borders or nations. They want to create a new utopia. Go ahead and play. Thank you. That's the World Economic Forum. I've shown you this before, but I wanted to come back to it. Do you notice that these powers that be, these elites, the World Economic Forum, say, you will own nothing. Why? Who owns it all? They didn't say, we will own nothing. You'll own nothing. They're going to own everything. It makes the elites of this world godlike. You're going to need them to stay alive, healthy. They're going to tell you what to eat. No more meat. Have you noticed the price of everything's gone, but how the price of meat, how high that's gone? And they want you to eat bugs. You don't believe me? Go to Google sometime and type in bugs instead of meat, and you'll see the United Nations plan to give the world masses protein, not through meat, but through bugs. You see, they want to destroy America as a superpower. Gee, I think they've done that, haven't they? They want to break Western values. Freedom. Individual freedom. Small government. The government that works for the people. They want to break that because they want a worldwide government. Values. You see, what we're seeing in our country is this playing out, this agenda. And why our political system just crossed a line it has never crossed before. Let's go back to the plan. They're going to change global citizens, no more borders, no more nations. They're going to turn people into sexual beings. You see, God made us relational beings, so we're in relationship to Him. We need that relationship. They want to replace that relationship, that relational being part, to being a sexual being. This is taught through Marxism. It was taught by Freud. Freud and Marx both hated God. They hated the Word of God. So the father of psychology and Marxism, Karl Marx, they want you to be all, it's all about sex. Life is all about sex. Your identity is found in sex, who you are sexually and who you sleep with. That's your purpose in life is sex. And are we sex saturated as a country, as a people? It's not about being in a relationship with God and real relationship with one another. No, use each other for sex. That's your purpose, is to satisfy yourself. Play.
Okay, so during third period, we have announcements, and they do the Pledge of Allegiance. I always tell my class, stand if you feel like it, don't stand if you feel like it, say the words if you want, don't have to say the words. So my class decided to stand, but not say the words. Totally fine. Except for the fact that my room does not have a flag. It used to be there, but I took it down during COVID because it made me uncomfortable. And, I packed it away and I don't know where, and I haven't found it yet. But my kid today goes, hey, it's kind of weird that we just stand and then, you know, we say it to nothing. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I got to find it. Like, I'm working on it. I got you. In the meantime, I tell this kid, we do have a flag in the class that you can pledge your allegiance to. And he, like, looks around and he goes, oh, that one?
That's who you need to pledge your allegiance to. The identity of whatever sexual perversion you want to identify with. Oh, I wish I had more time. Because we're going to go over a few minutes. If you need to go at 12 o'clock, feel free, but I am going to go over a few minutes probably. Go back. All right, yeah, you're there. Okay. So sexual beings, sexual activity, genders, gender dysphoria, the transgender. Transhumanism is not transgenderism. Transhumanism is also known or understood under what they call the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Next slide. What is the Fourth Industrial Revolution by Klaus Schwab? The Fourth Industrial Revolution is the fusion of technology that is blurring the lines between the physical, the digital, and the biological sphere. It affects not only industrial production, but basically all areas of society. They're wanting to connect you physically to electronics. Put electronics inside you. hook your brain up to the internet. This is not sci-fi. They're already doing it. The technologies are already here. Okay? So, they're wanting to turn you, and this is how the Satan's plan and the fool's plan is trying to give you the promise that God gives His people in His plan, eternal life, glorified bodies. It's a counterfeit. But that's what they're trying to do with this transhumanism. Go back to the next slide. There we go, Levi. All right, so how are they going to do this? Well, the best way to motivate people is through fear. You can get people to do things because they're fearful. They'll surrender their freedoms. They'll surrender control of their lives out of fear. So pandemics, climate change, economic collapse. I'm probably going to get banned off YouTube now. All right. How are they going to do this? It's a one tool is their main tool. It's called Marxism. What is Marxism? I have a 5-minute video. Please listen very close to what it is and what has to be destroyed by Marxism. They're going to use this, and they're using it right now. You'll see it. To bring down America, to bring down Western values, to bring about this great reset, Agenda 2030.
Engraved on Karl Marx's tombstone in Highgate Cemetery in North London are the following words. The philosophers have only interpreted the world in various ways. The point, however, is to change it. Substitute the word professor for the word philosopher. We really don't have philosophers anymore, and you get right to the core of Marx's enduring attraction to the contemporary world. Marx demands that the intellectual class, the professors of law, sociology, history, women's studies, anthropology, journalism, and so on, come out of the ivory tower and join the barricades, to see themselves not as the preservers of the dusty past, but the creators of a new and glorious future. The lure has proven to be very strong, and it's not hard to understand why. How much more meaningful, exciting, and romantic to see yourself as an agent of change rather than a mere academic? How much more meaningful, exciting, and romantic to see the young people who fill up your classroom as potential soldiers in the cause? Send them into the world with the same revolutionary spirit, the same disgust toward bourgeois middle-class values that you feel, and you've done your job. And we must give these lecture hall revolutionaries their due. Look around. For the most part, they've succeeded. Drill into any current leftist movement, environmentalism, critical race theory, the massive expansion of the welfare state, not to mention diversity, equity, and inclusion offices at every university and major corporation, and you will find Marxism at its core, a contempt of the Enlightenment and the Judeo-Christian value system from which capitalism springs. Marx's most famous call to action, "Workers of the World Unite," was not, of course, to the professoriate, but to the laboring class. That didn't work out so well. Workers, especially in the United States, turned out to be more interested in refrigerators than revolutions. The only barricade they were passionate about was a white picket fence in front of a green suburban lawn. Poor, benighted souls, the appeal of Marxism was somehow lost on them. Maybe because they didn't go to college. But the intellectual class never lost faith. Even after Stalin, even after Mao, even after Castro wrecked Cuba, even after Pol Pot murdered millions of his fellow Cambodians, even after Hugo Chavez destroyed the strongest economy in South America, the academic elite remained true believers. Indeed, in a world without faith, where God is dead, Marxism has become, in effect, a substitute religion. One of the major strengths of Marxism, in contrast to both modern liberalism and conservatism, is the unyielding commitment of its followers to this faith, to bear witness to it, and to act on it. It summons these followers to join a crusade to destroy the evil that is capitalism and to create the good that is communism. In our secular world, the Marxist ideal gives the Marxist true believer a reason to live, a reason to die, and a reason to kill. Monsters like Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Kim Il-sung, Ho Chi Minh, and Pol Pot took this to the nth degree and murdered millions. For the record, the latter too were politically educated in France. Pol Pot, studied at the Sorbonne. If you think I'm exaggerating the evils of Marxism, if you think Stalin and those other guys got communism wrong, but your new democratic socialism will get it right, think again. Marxism leads a society toward a fixed goal, a utopian vision of pure freedom in which the individual is liberated from the false consciousness of capitalism. Unfortunately, by Marx's own definition, the path to this utopia requires the destruction, economically, politically, and morally, of every vestige of civilization as we know it. Economically, Marxism seeks to destroy free enterprise, the division of labor, profit and loss, competition, and material wealth. Politically, it seeks to destroy the rule of law, separation of powers, and freedom of speech. Morally, it seeks to destroy individualism, religious liberty, and independent thought. And on top of this rubble, it builds the all-powerful state ruled by an all-powerful elite. This is why the communist 1%, the true 1%, must use the full power of the state to force the 99%, the true 99%, to become something they are not and do not want to be. And if that doesn't work, the secular philosophy of brotherly love simply intimidates into silence and ultimately liquidates as much of the 99% as is necessary to keep everybody in line. Censorship, secret police, and re-education camps, these are not bugs in an imperfect system. They are features, critical parts of its design. In short, the problem with Marxism has been and always will be Marxism. Too bad the academic establishment has yet to figure this out. Or even worse, maybe they have. I'm Brad Thompson, professor of political science at Clemson University for Prager University.
So what are the three areas?
Thank you for watching.
The three areas they have to destroy: economics, politics, morality. Is that happening in our nation? Oh, big time, hasn't it? I could go on to this so much, but I have to cover so much so quickly here. They've destroyed it. The last 3 years, we have seen this on the rise. This is already taking place, folks. It's not coming, it's here, and they've accomplished it. For them to bring about their World Economic Forum utopia, they were going to have to destroy the nations who love freedom. The U.S., we're seeing that happen. Now, people are patriotic. They just did a poll. Patriotism of your nation, love of your nation, is it important? It was down to less than 30, it was around 30%. So 70% of the people living in this country go, nah, it's no big deal. They've gotten the globalist mindset. America's evil. U.S., Israel. Israel, same thing's happening. The political riots and the left and the hatred of country is happening in Israel right now. It's already happened in Europe, Australia. It's gone. It turned into a police state. It's horrifying. They had camps set up if you broke COVID protocols. They had camps. It's a police state now. There's no freedom there. New Zealand's the same way. They've gone off the cliff. Canada. What happened when the few Canadians are always chill, right? You can't get Canadians angry. You can go up and hit a Canadian, he'll smile at you. But the Canadians finally got fed up, right? They got into their trucks and they drove. And then the government said, you guys are terrorists, and shut them down and stole their personal money from their bank accounts. Canada, now they can't have weapons and defend themselves, and it's gone. Brazil. Biggest country in South America, had a conservative leader, conservative government. That's not going to work well for the elites. So they, and there was millions protesting in Brazil because the election was fraudulent, and now they have a criminal in charge of Brazil. Now you see why our politics is going. They're destroying the faith we have in our system. Follow an agenda. Play.
We can do this. We can build back better. And I'm looking forward to getting started as soon as we can.
pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change. Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs.
The third foundation is to build back better.
The pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Did you hear what he said? Pre-pandemic efforts. This elite, world elite, have been planning this well before COVID. That's the dictator of Canada right there. Build back better is the code word, and I don't have time to play this whole video, but all these world leaders around the world, same time Biden was doing it, build back better, build back better. That's all you heard from the world leaders. It's this global reset. It's this Agenda 2030. And they've had it before. Now, the author of the Great Reset, COVID-19, the Great Reset, is Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum. He posted the book, COVID-19 gave us this great opportunity. And all of a sudden, here's an opportunity, and it just hit them. We could change the world. When is this published? July 9, 2020. That's 3 months after the pandemic, right? Right? All right, let's make sure you guys are still with me. I haven't put you to sleep. Well, this book is incredible. Now, if you go on, there's a good chance YouTube will, if they don't remove this, they'll put a disclaimer that the Great Reset is a conspiracy theory. But it's right here in a book. And in this book, go to the next slide. Here's basically the book. Can you read all that? It's such a detailed plan. It's huge and affects every aspect of life in the world. This is the plan. The center is the Great Reset. The primary goal is what they call the SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals. All right. This plan is so detailed. Are you telling me in 3 months of the pandemic hitting, you imagined all this plan, you researched it, you wrote it, you had it edited, and you published all this in less than 3 months? No. They've had this for a while, their pre-pandemic efforts. Remember what Trudeau said. Let me blow up some of them for you. Go to the next slide. All right. So inside this great big plan is your LGBT movement that destroys the morality of Western culture so they can destroy the nation. Gender, all right, all there. The next one, digital identity, all right, that's Revelation 13. Drones, 5G. How much of you guys like 5G? Yeah, 5G. 5G is put in place so that the world system can operate better. They can track people better. Climate change, all right. Leadership in the fourth industrial revolution, turning us into transhumans. Global health. The World Health Organization. All right, the next one, global governance. You see, one world government. The Great Reset they want global governance. COVID-19 is just one of the ways they used it. Financial monetary systems are going to control it all, folks. As I close, and I'm coming up quick, hold on. Hang with me, just a few more minutes. How are they going to do this? They're going to do it first through health. Go to the next slide. World Health Organization, the WHO, right? It's part of the United Nations system. You can go to their website. It says right there, United Nations system, the WHO. Next slide, Levi. Countries begin negotiation on global agreement to protect world from future pandemic emergencies. This is something that the UN has been talking about under the World Health Assembly. All these nations come together. How are we gonna stop the next pandemic? Because there were some countries who didn't follow the WHO's directions. And there were some countries who did, but the countries didn't enforce it on all their people, like us, who started going, wait a minute, something's wrong here, and we started breaking protocol and leaving our homes and opening our churches. They didn't like that. So this resolution is about giving the WHO great power that if the next pandemic comes along, the WHO under the United Nations will be able to send foreign troops to the nation to enforce their protocols. This is real, folks. This article is dated 3 March 2023. They want the final draft in 9 months, 2024. All right, they're going to do it through health. They're going to do it through economics. Next slide. World Economic Forum and UN sign strategic partnership framework. And you see, it's for the Agenda 2030 down there in the article. Can you see that? But look at the date. When did the World Economic Forum, who created that video, and the UN sign an agreement to bring about the 2030 agenda? They signed it in 13 June 2019, before the pandemic. This is on their websites. All these are screenshots of their website. Go and check it out. Either they're too arrogant to care or they think you're too stupid to notice. That's their opinion, not mine. All right, so they're going to do it through the economic. They're going to do it through climate change. Next one, climate change under the United Nations. We're running out of time but not out of options to address climate change. They're going to say, hey, you can't have a gas vehicle anymore. You're going to drive a battery vehicle. You're not going to eat meat anymore. All in climate change. They're going to tell you, you can't go outside 20 minutes outside your town. All this is coming, folks. They have it all written out, what they want to enforce. So they're going to do it through this way. They're going to do it through illegal migration. United Nations. Next one, Levi. Next one, here. United Nations, okay? United Nations is supporting and creating this mass migration. It really started, their program first started when they were bringing all the migrants up from the Middle East and Africa into Europe. They changed Europe. That's what they wanted to do. They're wanting to get rid of nations. They're wanting to get rid of borders. They want to create a global sense so you can be under one global government and one global leader. So they're going to mass migrate people to change dynamics. And the UN is supporting. There's a video you can go on their website. Next slide. And they'll tell you all about what they're doing. Next slide, Levi. On their website it says this. The UN defines a migrant as any person who is moving or has moved across international borders when they stayed away from his or her habitual place of residency regardless. Now good. We love migration. Legal migration. Countries have always had legal migration. But here you go. Migration here, though, under the UN, it doesn't matter if it's legal status. They're supporting illegal status, whether the movement is voluntary or involuntary. All right? Next slide. The migrants and the SDGs. SDGs, Sustained Development Goals of the 2030 Agenda under the RESET. It's all connected, folks. Get rid of national borders, dilute the nationalism, prepare global citizens. Back to the plan. The counterfeit plan. It's counterfeit from God's, but it's going to work to a certain extent. It's going to get to Revelation 13. It's going to get to a one world government. And we might be very close because everything they need to do to bring it about is happening right now and has been happening. A lot of us want to live in a bubble. A lot of us want to say, well, this will blow over. Or it'll be okay. No. It's going to happen. Great Reset. It's happening. They want it in place by 2030. The whole thing. Done. That means they're going to have to start right now implementing all this stuff that they want to do, that whole big plan I showed you. And they want it in place. They want their utopia. They want us under them all by 2030. How close could we be? I'm going to do it. God has set history. He's in charge. He knows the beginning from the end. But what we do not know is how God sets his plan. He knows everything in advance. And he may say, well, I'm going to give humanity, I know they're going to rebel, I'm going to give them this long before I return. We know he set the day. The day is fixed that he has set. The Bible's very clear on it. But how did he come to set that date? The Bible doesn't tell us. But what we do know is that sometimes God sets his plans according to humanity's, what humanity is doing. And usually it's not good. When Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, did God orchestrate his brothers to sell him into slavery? No. He knew they were going to do this. They were going to choose to do evil. And God, as Joseph said, what you planned for evil, God used for good. So God, in his foreknowledge, knew that they were going to sell him into slavery. He says, well, I can work my plan here. I'll use their evil, and I'll bring good out of it because I'm God and God alone, and only God can do that. So God based his plans on what evil men did. The reason I bring this up, I don't know how close we are, folks. 2030, everything about it is what Revelation 13 is all about. It's the tribulation period. It's what they're going to have to do to being one person in charge, which we know the Bible calls the Antichrist. Here's what could happen. Could. I'm not setting a date. But if God, his plan in Revelation, the seven-year tribulation, the return of Jesus Christ, has he based all that on what man, he foreknew what man was going to attempt to do, a one-world government under the Great Reset? Is he going, oh, I see their plan. I'll use that for my greater good, and I'll bring about the end of the world and the return of my Son. If he has set the events of Revelation based on what man is attempting to do, like the Tower of Babel, that means if they want to accomplish their agenda by 2030, and God is going to use this period as the seven-year tribulation, 7 years from 2030 is 2024. Could that be the beginning of the tribulation period? Very easily could be. Means the rapture of the church is before that. We have 9 months until 2024. How do you feel about that? Excited? Scared? Doubtful? I'm not saying it is. It could be another 10 years. We could see a lot more. We could see so much more. This is such a huge topic. The tribulation period, I don't even have time to get into all of it. But I do find it fascinating. A lot of things are very similar. And if God plans off what man is trying to do to bring about his good, better will, then 7 years before 2030 when they say they're going to have this accomplished, means we don't, may not have very long to be the church. Not very long before we're standing before our Lord and Savior. And he's going to ask us, I gave you salvation. I gave you my spirit. I gave you my word. I gave you the church. What did you do with it? Did you warn anybody? Did you help the church in its ministries? Were you dedicated as I was when I went to the cross for you? The reality, and I know a lot of people, they just want to attend church and it just be about church. But the reality is it's more than that. It's more than that. And I know I might drive some people away with this hard stance of being the church. And that's why the pews are right now the way they are, because I haven't backed off this stance. We have a mission to do. And most people want an easy Christianity. And I don't teach an easy Christianity because that's not what the Bible teaches. God says, if you really love me, you'll do what I want. You'll do my commandments. and doing that to live godly, you will be persecuted. I teach about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I teach about being a laborer in the field, of being a slave. Other churches teach a comfortable Christianity. But reality is, we're going to stand before Christ soon. The one who died for you. Have you lived for Him? I'm going to close up. Two minutes and I'm done. Revelation 13. Here's what the Antichrist, the Satan's plan, and the globalists want to get to. And he will cause all, both small and great, to receive a mark. No one may buy, sell, except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. His number is 666. This is the one world government. You can read the whole chapter 13. It's a one world government. A cashless society. Everything you see happening around us. It's going to happen, folks. Satan's going to get his way. This is going to happen. The globalists are going to get their way. But whose plan is superior? Whose plan is going to outdo the counterfeit plan and the plan of the fool? God's plan. What are we to do? Look at, you need to understand this. Excuse me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no one deceive you by any means. For that day, the last days, will not come until the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the Antichrist, the one who will be in charge of this one world government. The man that Prince Charles, or now King Charles, mentioned a couple months back. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, though he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is sin. Satan working through the Antichrist in a one world tribulation, the Bible forewarns us about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, for the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. No kidding. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That is the Holy Spirit of God. Satan is working his plan, but he can't bring his man on the scene until the church is gone. The Holy Spirit through the church. But once the church is raptured, bam. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed. Verse 9 of that chapter. The coming of the lawless one, this one who will rule the world, is according to the working of Satan. All right? With all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. What are we to do? Here's what we're to do, folks. We're not to panic. We're not to want to be in a bubble. We want to be the church. We want to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, this plan. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against principal spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I'm trying to talk too fast. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Would you guys consider this to be the evil days we're in? Most definitely. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We got to stand up. We got to resist. Are we going to stop it? Of course not. It's going to happen. America's going to fall. The Bible has always predicted America's going to fall. All nations will come against Israel, will come against Jesus in the end. But that doesn't matter. We still stand. Let me ask you something real quick. I want to be done by 12:15, I promise. That's 3 minutes. We won't even do the closing song, all right? Let me ask you something. If we could go back to June 5th, 1944, and we could show all those who are about to hit the beaches, if we could show them America today, this is what they were fighting for. This was going to be their long legacy when they hit that beach. If we could show them what America is today, with teachers who, in public schools, who the American flag offends them and makes them feel uncomfortable, would they hit the beach? I mean, let's take a poll. Well, I don't want to do that to you. I'm going to tell you right now, because I thought about this. Would they still want to hit the beach? And I'm going to say yes. Because that's what kind of generation they were. That's what kind of people they were. That's what Americans used to be. You do what is right. In front of them was evil, and they needed to deal with it. And then if they had already known what America was going to become, they would have still dealt with evil that day, and then maybe they would have tried to change course after that to stop this from happening. But that day, I think they would have still hit the beaches, even knowing what America was going to become. And folks, that's the same. We know what's coming. We know this is going to happen, but we still need to hit the beach. We still need to be the church. Take it seriously. To stand. Take encouragement, Jesus said. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God's plan will rule the day. But we have a part in that plan to help people get off the counterfeit plan and the fool's plan back into God's plan. Are you taking part in that? Are you helping with that mission? Are you dedicated as Christ was dedicated to you? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, I just ask you to let this soak in, Lord. Let us ponder on this. Let us get our minds around it. I ask you to speak to us, Lord. Speak to each one of us. We pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you guys. We'll see you on Resurrection Sunday morning.